You are listening to 91.5 FM, WMIE.
Welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here for today's program is Pastor Paul.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker for this program. I am Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here of Island Community Church, along with my associate pastor, Darren Solano. We greet you guys and gals here today. Thank you for joining us here. God bless you. Happy Thursday or Friday, depending on what day of the week it is, because I'm letting this opening play both of these days. This is WGOD Radio. We're tuning into God's frequency now. God always has a word for you. Today, it's going to be a prophetic word, and it's going to come from the book of Revelation. And I've entitled this sermon, The Super Duper. It's like that old saying, hey, I've been duped. We're going to look at the king of dupers, at least in the flesh. Satan is the great deceiver, but you can't see him. That's the problem. But he has his emissaries and his peeps, and he is going to have one killer of a peep here coming up during the tribulation. He's known as the false prophet because chapter 19, verse 20 calls him as such, literally the false prophet, as he's thrown into the lake of fire. Revelation chapter 13, it says, I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. This is verse 11. And he had two horns like a lamb, and he spoke like a dragon. And he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on earth in the sight of men. Then the Bible says this, Revelation chapter 13, verse 14. And he deceives those who dwell on the earth by the signs he had the power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to those that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast who was wounded by the sword and lived. And he had power to give breath, or the King James says he had the power to give life to the image of the beast, so that the image of the beast should both speak and cause as many as would not worship the beast to be killed. That's our launching point for today. The Super Duper, this will play Thursday and Friday. I invite you guys to church on Sunday, and I'm loaded for bear and ready to go. In the book of Acts, my sermon is entitled The Perils of Peter. We're going to look at the great lengths that Almighty God went to get Peter out of prison, who had 16 guards watching out over him. They had four squads of four watching out over him and his time here on earth, and his ministry wasn't done. And what applies to Peter applies to you today as well, that no demon from hell can prevent you from fulfilling and carrying out God's will that he has for you to do until your time on earth is done. That's my sermon this Sunday. We would love to see you here, Island Community Church. Okay, let's get into the word. Let's look at the super duper now.
The false prophet. Maybe some people heard this on the radio this last week. You're going to hear it again. Bye, kids. I've got a new name for this. I'm going to call this guy the super duper. Or is that just Jersey or something? You know, you got duped, right? Prior to starting this sermon, maybe I need to add a few comments of my own. Pastor Paul's soliloquy. We've been in Romans here on Sunday mornings, and I've been in the book of Revelation on the radio. Last week, I preached the most eye-opening sermon I can ever remember on this text we're about to look at on the radio, and that concerns me. That this interests me this much as it does, it concerns me that I'm absolutely compelled to preach this message today, even though it was on the radio last week. And even though I've preached this before, maybe a year ago, the false prophet is perhaps the most scariest of all of the players in God's cast of characters. I mean, the devil's the invisible player. The Antichrist is a political leader who all the world's inhabitants must pledge allegiance to. But the man we're going to look at today, who the Bible calls the false prophet, this guy intimidates me the most. I've believed since I was 10 years old that this man was going to kill me. Long before I became a Christian. And that does something to me as well. The false prophet is the one responsible for everything. He's the one that's been granted incredible power, and I can't believe I'm going to use this word in a sermon. My English teacher would be proud of me. Gravitas. This guy wrote the book on gravitas. And with that power and gravitas, the man we're going to look at today is going to deceive billions of people, everyone that's left on the earth. Remember, when God sent the flood at the time of Noah, the Bible says only 8 people survived. Everyone but 8 people were wiped out by the flood. And if you could find Noah's ark, everyone is bent on trying to find the ark. The one thing you'd find on Noah's ark, if you were to find it today, you know what that would be? Scratch marks, like the mummy being buried alive. So with that in mind, everyone should have a handout from the inside of your bulletin. On that sheet of paper, we're going to look at 10 blanks. Actually, I think we end up with 11. Carol is back there today to fill in the blanks as we go through this. So please save this list. Tuck it away on the inside of your Bibles. Refer to it often. Let the Lord add to it as He gives you insight. Leave this to someone important to you in your will. It'll provide the most valuable of all possessions. Because Jesus says, "For what will it profit a man to gain the whole world and yet lose his soul?" So, that's where we're at. We're at the false prophet here this morning. Revelation chapter 13, starting in verse 11. We're going to run through this. Who is he? Who is the false prophet? What's his significance? How does he fit into end times? Now, the Lord Jesus said in Matthew 7:15, he said, "Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves." Then he said, "You will know them by their fruits." I guess we could say, don't feed the animals, right? Also, Matthew 24:24. He says, "For false Christs and false prophets will rise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even God's chosen people." Then he says, "See, I've told you beforehand." Now that verse we just read just about sums everything up. And the Lord Jesus specifically had the end of the age in mind when he spoke this. False Christ. That's the Antichrist, the first half of Revelation 13. False Christs and false prophets will rise up. That's the second half of this chapter. And show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even you. And even the seasoned believer. To deceive you, if it's possible. Meaning, the deception is going to be so mighty and so convincing, even the seasoned believer in Jesus Christ could be deceived if you don't know the playbook. This is the playbook. And I ask the question, I'll ask it again, how well do you know the playbook? Paul the Apostle wrote, he says, "The coming of this lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers, signs and lying wonders. Think about it, a lying wonder. And these lying wonders will be carried out by the third person of this unholy trinity, the false prophet. Not the false teacher, not the false heretic, not the false apostle, but he's the false prophet. Meaning the guy's got to get up and open up his Bible and says, thus says the Lord. He's the false prophet. So what part does he play at the end of the world? Well, he is the one personally responsible for forcing people to take the mark of the beast at the end of the age. Or I like to say now, he's the one that's going to force people to obey the government. He's the one that's going to force people to obey the government. Better yet, he's the one that causes people to obey the government. Also, he's the one who will deceive everyone into thinking he's legit, especially Jewish people. Hence the name, false prophet. Okay, now, when I say obey the government, we're always to obey the government. That's Romans chapter 12. Let everyone be subject to the government. But when the government tells you to do something that's contrary to the Bible, you don't do it, and that's what I'm talking about. Let me make myself plain and clear there. All right, so today's list, we've got 10 points on it regarding this false prophet. We'll look at all 10 of these as we read these 8 verses in Revelation chapter 13. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, we praise you. We praise you here this morning in your house. We ask now, Lord, for your wisdom, insight, knowledge, understanding into your word. Lead us and guide us. Speak to us. We listen for you now. Help us to be doers of your word. Help us to be overcomers here, this end of the age that we live in. Speak to us through your word now, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, Revelation chapter 13, we're in verse 11. Remember, you understand the symbol and you'll understand the book. Revelation's full of symbols. We got to understand the symbol. Verse 11, he says, then I saw another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had 2 horns like a lamb, but he speaks like a dragon. So there is point number one, Carol. Point number one, the false prophet is a counterfeit Christian or religious leader. There's Christians still on the earth then. I'm assuming the guy's going to say that he's Christian. He's got 2 horns like a lamb. Remember, understand the symbol, you understand the book. Who was the lamb in the book of Revelation? Who was the lamb in the Bible? It's Jesus. Behold, the Lamb of God. Who was the dragon in the Bible? It's Revelation chapter 12, right? So that dragon, that serpent of old, was thrown out of heaven. And again, I point you back to the words of Christ. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, who come to you looking all dapper and nice, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. Also, 2 Corinthians 11:14, for Satan himself transforms himself. Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light, meaning right here is where you're going to find the devil, in pulpits across America. He transforms himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no surprise if his ministers or demons transform themselves into ministers of righteousness. Then he says, you'll know them by their fruit. Hear me now. If you don't know your playbook, if you do not know your playbook, then you will not recognize the false prophet, who he really is. Now, we're here to fix that here today. Okay? Write these things down. Sock these things away. We're here to fix that. Let me ask the question, how well do you know the playbook? Here you are, you're in the Super Bowl, it's 4th-and-3, you're on the opponent's 35-yard line. Jesus Christ is the quarterback. And now all of a sudden, to use a football analogy, you're up to the line of scrimmage and he calls an audible. You know what an audible is? Anyone here watch football other than me? An audible's when he changes the play at the line of scrimmage. All of a sudden, he calls a different play. I ask, that's calling an audible. How well do you know the Word of God? How well do you know the playbook? How well do you know the Christian playbook? Uh-oh. Now we got a problem. However, if you're new to the team, Jesus won't hold that against you. Just like any new player on a football team, anytime they make a trade and get a new player, the coach will only call plays that the new player knows. He goes easy on him for a while. The new guy will know half a dozen plays or whatever, and the coach is gracious and will only call plays that you know for a while. But the time will come when the head coach will expect you to know the playbook, or you'll ride the bench. And the coach will put someone else into the game who's totally committed to him. Some professional. Someone who's totally committed to him. So, how well do you know the playbook? See, you will know the counterfeit by his fruits, by his works. All right, a man appears on the 5 o'clock news, says he's Jesus. And he says he's returned. The newsman asked him how he got here. And he said, the imposter Jesus said, well, I came here on the 310 train from Yuma. Now, if you fall for that, all right, I will hold my tongue. No, I won't. You're a fool if you fall for that. He expects you to know how he's coming back. He expects you, follow me here now. He expects you to know how he's coming back. How is he coming? Behold, he's coming in the clouds, the Bible says. And every eye will see him, even those who pierced him. That's Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. He expects you. He expects you to know how he's coming back. Matthew 24:24. What other verses could I read? Acts 1:11. This same Jesus who was taken up from you will so come in like manner as you saw him go. Or Matthew 24:27. As lightning shines from the east and flashes to the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. You see, for the child of God, if you see someone that says, I'm Jesus and I just came in on the 310 from Yuma, the child of God, the alarm goes off and says, what's that robot say on Lost in Space? Danger, danger, Will Robinson. Don't believe that guy. Don't believe that guy. So the new believer, you sock away some of these in your notebook, you see. When you get older, when someone comes back and goes, dude, I'm Jesus. He's not coming back that way. He's coming with the clouds. And every eye will see him. Learn some of these plays. Sock them away. Store them away up here. Because the time is coming. I mean, we got some young adults here and some kids here today that I will bet them all the sushi they want. I won't eat it. Yes, she says. Yes, Jason. I'll bet you. We'll see if I'm alive. I believe I'll be alive to see it. Because I believe this will be the end of my life. That you guys will be alive long enough to see this happen. In your lifetime. And if I'm wrong, I can live with that. What's my charge? What's God going to charge? Pastor Paul, you're hereby charged with preparing people for my return. How do you plead? Lord, I plead guilty to that. I plead guilty. So if you don't know the word of, if you do know the word of God, you won't be deceived. And if you don't know the word of God, we're going to fix that. Let's fix it. Keep coming to this church. Attend the services Sunday and Wednesday. Sit under the Word of God. I'll teach this again and again and again when I preach it again next year. You can give me the wink. I remember that. And I'll ask you, how well do you know this list,
right?
That's my job. You see, we're in the PCL, us here. You know what that is, right? You've got the PBA, right? Right, Danny? You're a bowler. The PCA. It's the Professional Christian League. Heaven forbid we practice the same play twice, right?
Oh, I heard that sermon once when Eisenhower was president.
Really?
Okay. Back to verse 11. I saw another beast coming up out of the earth. He had two horns like a lamb, but he spoke like a dragon. And he exercises all the authority of the first beast, that's the Antichrist, in his presence. And he causes the earth and those that dwell in it to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So that's point number two. Carol, the false prophet demands worship. And he demands your worship. Last week we looked on the radio at who the worshipers are. Revelation chapter 13, verse 8, it says, all who dwell on the earth will worship him. Comma. Thank God for the comma. That's the best comma in all the Bible. All who dwell on the earth will worship him. The comma. Whose names have not been written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. So consider this. The false prophet demands worship from you. Or else. In a moment, we're going to find out he's going to make his very own Frankenstein monster who will enforce his rule. Verse 13, he performs great signs so that he even makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Whoa, catch that apparent miracle. So, point number three then. Unprecedented deception. Not since the days of Elijah has this happened. Now, Elijah lived 700 years before Jesus. 2,700 years ago. What would you guys do if you saw someone, remember, he's not the false politician. He's not the false plumber or electrician. He's a false prophet. He gets up and he's going to say, I am God's spokesman. And to prove it to you, look what he does. He makes fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. That's unprecedented deception. Not since the days of Elijah has it happened. We read in Luke chapter 9 that James and John wanted to call fire down out of heaven to burn up all the people there, and Jesus wouldn't let them do it. This will be a time of unprecedented deception, the likes of which this world has never seen. Verse 14 goes along with this. Let me read verse 14 from my Bible translation. It reads a little bit different. If you guys want a copy of my Bible, let me know. It's from the majority text, majority of all the Greek manuscripts. Revelation 13, 14. Ready? This is the Apostle John speaking, who wrote the book of Revelation. He deceives my own people who dwell on the earth. Now, most translations say he deceives those that dwell on the earth. Most Greek manuscripts read, he deceives my own people. He deceives my own people that dwell on the earth by the signs which were granted to him to do, saying to those that dwell on the earth to make an image to the beast. You can write in your margin there. That's my word picture to remember. Image is Frankenstein. Now, John Hagee calls him the Terminator, Arnold Schwarzenegger. A modern day Terminator. If you've ever seen that movie before, there's no stopping this guy.
He deceives my own people that dwell on the earth by the signs which were given to him to do, saying to those that dwell on the earth to make an image, Greek word icon, image to the beast who had this wound of the sword and came to life. This guy's going to die. He's going to be resurrected again in front of everyone. Like I said, if the correct reading is he deceives those who dwell on the earth, then to me he's talking to unbelievers. But if my translation is right, and I believe that it is, if you guys have a New King James Bible, you'll notice a footnote there. You'll see a capital M, and it says my own people. So it's not just me. I'm not crazy here. I don't just willy-nilly come up with my own interpretation of this. He deceives my own people. Who was he talking about when he says he deceives my own people? Either Christians or those that don't know the playbook, I guess. There's a remote chance he's talking about Jews when he says my own people, him being Jewish. Question. When was the last time you personally saw someone call fire down out of heaven? In all my years at the radio station as a manager, they would have assorted fruitcakes on the radio who said, I'm calling fire down out of heaven, 5 o'clock. And the guy would pack the house. The phone would ring off the hook. But anytime I had Billy Graham on the radio and something in the equipment broke and he didn't play, nothing but crickets, man, crickets. Phone wouldn't ring once. Greatest evangelist in the last century. But you're going to call fire down out of heaven at 5 o'clock, bring your wallet? Phone ring off the hook. This is the kind of thing, this is what I'm talking about. He deceives everyone that dwells on the earth. When was the last time you saw someone call fire down out of heaven? So, Jesus warns us, watch out for this guy. All right, point number four. The false prophet is very, very powerful. Verse 15, let me read that from the King James Version. Listen to how this reads. He, that's this man, he had the power to give life. All right. What day is today? The 16th. 16th of November, year of our Lord, 2025. How many people in this church knew that someone other than God was going to be granted the ability to give life to something or someone? See, this is why he says, better watch out for this guy. Now, who knows what this thing is? I don't know. Maybe it's just some kind of robot or something. Maybe he didn't understand what he saw. Remember, John was transported into our time, you know? Maybe he didn't quite understand it. But the image I get of someone kneeling over someone, pinching their nose, like he's giving a mouth to mouth, breathing into this guy, and up he comes, and he's alive. Whoa, what a time to be on earth, huh?
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study, and Sunday morning service starts at 10:30. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I believe in God the Father. Thunder and lightning. Peanut butter and jelly. Hugs and kisses. Some things are just meant to go together. But what about fear and wisdom? Well, the Bible tells us those belong together too. Billy Graham explains.
You can't begin to have wisdom.